This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. With the Democratic and Republican conventions around the corner, we look back 100 years to the 1920 conventions and election.
It was a moment when the country was just in the midst of a set of really interlocking crises. Really seems to speak to a little bit of what we're going through today.
And how Americans then were dealing with many of the same crises we're facing today.
The lesson of 1920 is that whatever happens at the presidential level, these other political ideas and political forces aren't going to go away.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
With just a few hours to go until the convention begins, our Politics Monday duo is here now to analyze expectations and pressures on Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report and host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter. She's here with me in the studio at a safe social distance. And Tamara Keith of NPR joins us from home. She's also co-host of the NPR Politics Podcast. So Tamara, because you're at home, we're going to start with you. We just heard from Senator Coons, but in general, what do the Democrats need to do this week to help Joe Biden?
So they, he's the challenger. Joe Biden is the challenger. And so the case that the Democrats need to make is that 4 more years of President Trump is not something that people want to live through. And that's certainly, you know, an underlying theme of tonight. In addition to the unity message, they're also going to have people there, first responders and frontline medical workers who have been dealing firsthand with the pandemic. They're going to have a family member of someone who died from coronavirus. So the message is going to be both about Joe Biden, but also about President Trump's leadership. And that's fairly solid ground for Democrats to stand on, looking at the polls and the way the public has perceived President Trump's handling of the pandemic and the economic fallout from that.
Amy, how tall a task? And by the way, it's good to see you
in
person.
I know, it is very good to see you
after all these months. How tall a task is this for the Democrats?
Well, it's funny, you know, Tim used the word challenger, that Joe Biden is a challenger, but in many ways it feels like he's the incumbent. It's very rare that a challenger goes into a convention with as big of a lead as Joe Biden has right now over an incumbent president. In fact, CNN looked all the way back to the 40s, and there's no precedent for this, of a challenger coming in to their own convention with the kind of lead that Joe Biden has. So he has less of a concern about getting a bounce, right? Most challengers want to get a bounce, a polling bounce out of the convention. He doesn't need to worry about a bounce. He needs to worry about keeping the lead that he already has, not losing that lead. But he does need to really fill out the picture of Joe Biden. It's what you addressed with Senator Coons now. Joe Biden's been on the scene for almost 50 years. He's been vice president for 8 years, but really telling the story of who he is, and then most important, what he wants to do next. What would it look like to have a Biden candidacy? That is the part that's still not really filled in yet.
And we're going to begin to see that tonight. In meantime, Tam, it's what we talked about a minute ago with Yamiche, and that is President Trump is not going to be quietly in the living room at the White House. He's going to be hitting the trail this week, making news. How unusual is this for the opposition party to do this?
Yeah, President Trump has had 3 rallies today, hangar rallies at airports in the upper Midwest, in Wisconsin, where he's making this sort of pointed statement about how he's there in person with people not wearing masks relatively close together. Where's Joe Biden? Why couldn't he come to this state? It is pretty much unheard of for a president to do this level of counter-programming. He's going to have at least 6 rallies/events over the course of this week. I checked in with Michael Beschloss, the presidential historian who's on this show regularly, and he said that, no, this is not normal. My memory is not failing me. This would be yet another norm that is busted by President Trump. Another thing, at his rally in Wisconsin today, he announced that he is for sure giving his acceptance speech from the White House next Thursday. And a Republican official told me that they have put in a permit to get fireworks set off over the Washington Monument after the president's speech. So the president is really going all in on you know, even though it is going to be kind of virtual, trying to make it as not virtual as possible.
So, Amy, given the fact that this is so unusual, so unprecedented,
right?
How likely is it to be successful? I mean, we can't really read in the future, but what do we think?
Well, so what is the measure of success, Judy, right? If the measure of success is Joe Biden going to get a big boost out of it in the polls, that's hard to believe given that he's 8 or 9 points ahead. Is it that he's shored up some of his weaknesses? And I think one of those is the sense of who he is and what his presidency would look like if he were elected. And also the one place where the president still has an advantage is on the issue of who'd do better on the economy. And so Joe Biden does have to sort of let voters know what he is going to do to bring the economy back, make people feel comfortable with that, to break away from the president on that issue.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to certainly be looking right. at every night this week. And I quickly want to return with both of you now, Tam, to the story that we've been reporting on for the last, so really since the top of the news hour, and that is efforts to undermine the Postal Service. What do we see as really going on here?
Well, if you ask the president, what is really going on here seems to change every time he talks about it. As we've documented, he said that he didn't want more money to go to the Postal Service because then you couldn't have universal vote by mail. But, you know, the other thing to point out here that is politically important is that the Postal Service is absolutely critical in rural states. There are a lot of veterans who get their medicines through the mail, a lot of people who get their medicines through the mail. And so it's not clear how long slowing down mail delivery can be a political winner.
Yeah, and you're taking on the most beloved institution. There is no other government institution that is as well-liked as the Postal Service.
And especially right now.
And especially right now in a pandemic when people are desperate to have any connection at all on, as Tam pointed out, especially with medicine. So, again, the president is almost like the challenger right now. This is why he's going out on the hustings, doing these rallies. He needs to show that he's going to take the fight to Joe Biden. But picking a fight with Joe Biden, that makes a lot of sense. Picking a fight with the Postal Service really makes no sense.
I'm curious to know, Tam, how do we, as we look at this and we're hearing both sides, we're hearing arguments on both sides, is this the kind of thing that could literally take thunder away from the Democratic convention this week?
Well, I think that the congressional hearings will be next week during the Republican convention. Certainly, this is a topic that is going to be discussed. But, you know, I think that this could be a bigger story next week. It could be the daytime programming to the nighttime convention.
Yeah, unusual.
Very good point.
Again,
of course.
Yeah. All right. We are going to leave it there. It's so good to have you, Tam, with us, joining us tonight. And Amy, you're going to be here with us all week. Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you. Politics Monday.